Hare Krishna, I welcome you for this Bhagavad Gita class. Today is Thursday, 13th September 2012. We'll first start with the prayers. So please follow the prayers, it is just on the screen. We'll chant it together. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतिता नाम पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमाम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो टुडे वी आर गोइंग टू स्टार्ट चैप्टर 6 सो फार वी हैव कंप्लीटेड चैप्टर 5 नेचुरली देन ओनली वी कैन स्टार्ट द 6th चैप्टर Arvindaksha Prabhu, you have to do something, I don't know. Everybody else is able to hear. You have some problem. You have to change the browser. Go to Google Chrome. That's one solution. So, as I said, we are going to start the chapter number 6. The title of this chapter is Dhyana Yoga. So far, if you remember, we completed the Vishada Yoga, then Sankhya Yoga or Bhagavad Gita summarized. Then we had Karma Yoga. Then we went to Transcendental Knowledge in the 4th chapter. And then we had Karma Yoga in Krishna Consciousness. That was the direct action part which Krishna spoke in the 5th chapter. Now, in the 6th chapter is called Dhyana Yoga. Dhyana means meditation. So this is a very popular chapter for those who practice meditation. According to them, I know this is the best chapter. So everybody takes different chapters and they call it the best chapter, depending on what kind of philosophy you are following. So the people who are more into Hatha Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, they love this chapter. So this is one of the processes. So let's see what Krishna has to say. In this chapter, Krishna directly starts speaking. So we are going to take today text number 1, shloka number 1. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to bring that up. And the system we'll follow is we'll just chant this. And then we are going to read the word by word translation. And then the translation. And then I'm going to discuss that. Okay. So please be ready. I hope everybody can see this. So just chant with me, after me. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Anashrita Karma Phalam Karyam. Or we can just break it into as it is here in the shloka here. Anashrita Karma Phalam. Anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karoti yah karyam karma karoti yah sa sanyasi cha yogi cha na niragnir na chakriyah na niragnir na chakriyah. Okay, there is an A there, Chakriyaha. Anashrita karma phalam, anashrita karma phalam, karyam karma karotiyaha, karyam karma karotiyaha, sa sanyasi cha yogi cha, sa sanyasi cha yogi cha, na niragnirna chakriyah na niragnirna chakriyah. One more time. Shri Bhagavan uvacha. Shri Bhagavan uvacha. Anashrita karma phalam, anashrita karma phalam, karyam karma karotiyah, karyam karma karotiyah, sa sanyasi cha yogi cha, sa sanyasi cha yogi cha, na niragnir na chakriyah, na niragnir na chakriyah. Now we'll take the word by word meaning. Shri Bhagavan uvacha. The Lord said, Anashritaha, without taking shelter, Karma Phalam, of the result of work, Karyam, obligatory, Karma, work, karoti, performs, yah, one who, saha, he, sannyasi, in the renounced order, cha, also, yogi, mystic, cha, also, na, na, not, Niha, Nihi, without. Agnihi, fire. Na, nor. Cha, also. Akriyaha, without duty. So these are the word by word meaning. I'll be talking about that again during discussion. So let's see the translation. I'll read the translation first and then we'll repeat. The Supreme Personality of God had said, one who is unattached to the fruits of his work and who works as is obligated is in the renounced order of life. And he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no duty. So please repeat. The Supreme Personality of God had said, one who is unattached to the fruits of his work and who works as he is obligated is in the renounced order of life. And he is the true mystic. Not he who lights no fire and performs no duty. So this is the translation. Let me see some place. I don't know what's going on, you know, I don't know. Everybody else is able to hear. I'm seeing Arvindaksha Prabhu and Jagdish Prabhu, they cannot hear, they say. I want to check. Can you please let me know if others can hear? Yeah, Prakash is, Pankaj Prabhu is hearing, Shyam Prabhu is hearing, Priya is hearing. I don't know. Pankaj Prabhu, can you call Jagdish Prabhu and tell him that he should either use Google Chrome or the browser you people are using? Because it looks like there's a browser problem with them. So please call them, call Jagdish Prabhu and ask him to call Arvindaksha Prabhu also. Okay. Thank you. Because we don't want to miss them, you know, they are very important members. Thank you. So now we see Krishna has started now speaking about this Dhyana Yoga. As I said, this is one of the options. You know, we should understand that Krishna is full of variety. And so naturally the process to attain Krishna are also variety. You know, so he has given us various processes. As we see in the Bhagavad Gita, he talks about Sankhya Yoga, Karma Yoga, Buddhi Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Dhyana Yoga. So here, what Krishna is talking is going to talk about is Dhyana Yoga. And that Dhyana is a part of the Ashtanga, Ashtanga. Ashta means eight, Anga means limbs. Eight limbs of yoga. So there is a variety. There is a variety available. Like when we want to travel from place A to place B, we have so many options. Isn't it? We can walk, we can crawl, we can take a vehicle, we can fly if there is a facility available. Or we can go by train. I mean, there's so many variety, right? The same way, it's all available. So Krishna is first of all here in the first shloka, he's clarifying who's this sannyasi. Because sannyasi is an image in people's mind. That one who is in the saffron dress, who is not married, who lives alone, travels and preaches. Or lives in a secluded place. That is what we think or we have been told, and we know, most of us know, that they are the true mystics. Okay? And then, so what is Krishna telling? One who is unattached. What's the word there in the shloka? Anashrita karma phalam. That means he is not bothered about. Phala means the fruit. So the fruit of our activities, he is not attached to. He is not taking shelter of that. You know, we are all taking shelter of the fruits of our activity, right? We work and we want the pay. We study, we want the results. We do business, we want the profit. So we are all ashrita. So he is the anashrita. Karyam karma karoti sah. Yeah. So one who does his, performs his duty, who works as is obligated. Obligated means duty, right? What is our, so the moment we get married, we say, I am obligated to take care of my family. That's what it means. Okay. So he is in the renounced order of life. Krishna is saying, he is the sannyasi. And he is the true yogi. He is saying, sannyasi cha yogi cha. Cha is also. Not the one who lights no fire and performs no duty. Agni, nira agni. Why this? What is the dynamic? That means if you are not lighting a fire, that means if you are not lighting a fire, we are not doing your duty. At that time when Krishna spoke, for the sannyasi, it was obligatory that he performs agni hotra. You know, agni hotra is a sort of a homa, yagya, which was performed by all the sannyasis twice a day, at least two times, sunrise, sunset, and also in the midday. It's a small, I remember when we were children, my uncle used to tell us, you should do agni hotra. I remember that. And you know, then it's a small little thing, you take a cow dung, the cake of the cow dung, the gobri we call it, and then you burn it, you know, and then you say some mantras, few mantras only. And this was done in almost every house in the Vedic times. And because of that, there was abundance of rain, and you know, that we saw in the third chapter. The rain, the fruit grains come by the rain, and the rain comes by yagya. So he says, the one who is not doing anything, although he is calling himself sannyasi, but he is not doing, he is not performing his duty. So what is the duty of a sannyasi? Also Krishna is going to speak. Okay? So this is what the main thing is here. And as I said, dhyana is a part of the Ashtanga Yoga. One of the. This whole, you know, ahara, pratyahara, all that. Yama, niyama, etc., etc. And then ultimately dhyana and then samadhi. That's how it goes. So Krishna is going to take, you know, there are 47 shlokas in this chapter. So we are going to see, even dhyana, when we talk of meditation, people talk the meditation all the time, very popular as I said. But most of the people even don't know how to meditate. They don't know meditate on what. So that's what we are going to see in this chapter. So right now, let us try to understand this more through the eyes of the acharyas, you know. Acharyas have taken all the pain to explain to us. So I have made some points based on the various commentaries, and we'll let us take them and then we'll discuss more. So here, in this chapter, the method of controlling the fickle mind, you know, along with the mind, they have added the adjective fickle mind, right? The moment we talk of mind, we know that mind is chanchala, very difficult to control. All the time you hear this, devotees talking, Those who have started chanting also, they say, Prabhuji, we cannot concentrate. The mind runs here and there, you know. So, here in this chapter, as I said, the process of Ashtanga Yoga, and in that particularly meditation, is going to be discussed. That's what it means here. So what is this system do? First of all, the moment, I've been saying this repeatedly, I don't mind saying it again. The moment we talk of yoga, we talk of connecting with the Lord. Other than that, whatever we do is not yoga. People say yoga, yoga, yoga all the time, but if they are not connecting with the Supreme Lord, then that's not yoga. So here, the process of Eightfold Yoga System, what is it? It's a means to control the mind and the senses. Means, it's one of the means. You know, there are other means also. It doesn't mean that only through this Ashtanga Yoga we can control the mind. No. We can control the mind in many other ways. Like, for example, we can control the mind by engaging the mind in Krishna service. You know, it's very difficult to not engage the mind in something. That's why they say an empty mind is a devil's workshop. Right? We know that. All these sayings are 100% true, because otherwise by now they would have rejected them, you know. They would have taken up them out of the textbooks and other places. But it's there. So, it's a process. Again, as I said, it's one of the processes. So that's nothing, there is nothing that is the process. That one can be an easier process, one can be a difficult process. But process is a process. Okay? Now right in the beginning, Srila Prabhupada, this is from Prabhupada, he makes it very clear that although this is recommended in this chapter, the process of Karma Yoga or acting in Krishna consciousness, which was in the fifth chapter. Prabhupada is saying, Prabhupada is also an Acharya, he is saying, it's better. Karma Yoga in Krishna consciousness. We know also, you know, because to practice this meditation, etc., is very easy to say, but very difficult to practice, you know. We require a huge amount of purity to even start doing that. Okay, and Arjuna himself declares that he cannot do it. He said it's so difficult to control the mind. So that's why Srila Prabhupada is saying that it is better to, but that, it doesn't mean, you know, if somebody wants to do it, it can be done. We cannot stop it, but not recommended. It's like, you know, you go to a program, any program, you download a thing, and it will say, this is the, you know, there will be options, and one of them will be say recommended, right? Recommended by the company, because they know that this, if you follow that, you will get better results. So same way, it is recommended, not mandatory. Because when we see in our real life, we know that none of us is working without some self-interest, some personal gratification, right? Even while we are doing, when we are doing a haituki seva of Krishna, a haituki, that means without any desires, material desires, or without any expectations, then that's the pure service. But generally, this is a statement is for general people. It's difficult to do, some self-interest will be there. That is, if Krishna is satisfied, then I also get satisfied. So self-interest is there. Some personal gratification. Right? Is there. So that is why it's very difficult to be a sannyasi. Because when the moment you become a sannyasi, then this is also left out. We cannot continue that. And here the example is given is that the parts of the body work for the satisfaction of the whole body. Right? We know that is a very practical thing. The hand and the mouth and the ears and the eye. I mean, everybody is helping the body. And in that they also get the nourishment. You know, when the when the belly is full, the whole body gets nourishment. So they don't act for self-satisfaction. Finger doesn't touch something because finger feels good. It does feel good, but it's not for self-satisfaction. You know, you scratch, for example, you scratch the body, you also get the relief. Right? So that's the meaning of this. I'm sorry. This continuation of that. Similarly, the living entity who acts for satisfaction of the supreme whole and not for personal satisfaction is the perfect sannyasi, the perfect yogi. So we see now, even when a sannyasi, for example, if he is also a guru, he makes disciples for what? Is it for self prestige that I got so many disciples? No, that is his duty, that is his obligation to speak, to preach Krishna consciousness, to preach Bhakti Yoga, to preach Bhagavad Gita, right? So for what? Again, his job is to satisfy the Lord. And the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita itself that those who spread this knowledge are most dear to him. So that's the bonus, that's the gratitude a sannyasi or a devotee gets. You know, moment he starts working for him, we know that the moment he starts working for self-satisfaction, people don't like it. Forget about Krishna. Krishna definitely does not like it. Even the people around that person do not like it anymore. You know, they think, oh, that's why always the comparison. Oh, so and so is such a nice devotee, and so is a puffed up, and so is, and like that, people put you in some category. Okay? Let's see what's going on. I'm sorry for Arvinda Prabhu. See here is the caution for a sannyasi. The sannyasis sometimes artificially think that they have become liberated from all material duties, but actually they are self-interested because their goal is to become one with the impersonal Brahman. This is regarding the people who are impersonalists. They want to become one with the Brahman. They want to merge into the Brahma Jyoti. Okay? And that's what is liberation for them. Okay? So, the acharyas are saying, they artificially think like that because it cannot happen. You cannot merge. You cannot lose your identity. You may go into the Brahma Jyoti, but even there, you do not lose your individuality. Because if you do, then this whole second chapter of Bhagavad Gita is to be rejected, where Krishna says that there was never a time when he or the king nor the Arjuna were present, and there will never be a time. And then in the qualities of the soul, we saw that it cannot be done. You cannot burn it, you cannot wet it, you cannot do anything, you know, cut it, you cannot destroy it, you cannot kill it. So who is merging with what? Although apparently you may be thinking that you are merging, but your individuality does not lose. And that is why these souls have to come back once they don't have any activity there, you know, because activity is the quality of the soul. So this is for, of course, people who think like that. We need not worry about that. Yeah. This desire is not bad, you know, it's not bad to think of moksha, it's not bad to think of merging. It's better than material desire, but It is not without self-interest. You know, what is the self-interest? I want to lose my identity. I don't want to, because there is a problem here, I don't want to come back here. Okay, that's a fine thing. But a devotee goes beyond that. He says, I don't mind coming here if Krishna wants me. My job is to satisfy Krishna, to serve Krishna. So, whatever Krishna decides for me, like Srila Prabhupada is quoting from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, na dhanam na janam. He says, I don't want a beautiful wife, I don't want dhan, I don't want sundari. All I want is the life after life I should be able to serve you. That is the highest. You know, so it's not bad to desire like that, but we have been given intelligence to think of the highest. Why not? Why not think of the highest? Okay. So here example is given that the mystic yogi, those who are doing this dhyana meditation, who practices yoga system with half open eyes, ceasing all material activities, desires some satisfaction for his personal self. Right? You ask him, how are you feeling after the meditation? I'll feel good. I'm feeling good. He never says that Krishna must be pleased with my meditating on him. No, I'm feeling good. My headache has gone. I have no migraine now. I can eat 4 chapatis instead of 2. You know, and so on. But a person acting in Krishna consciousness works for the satisfaction of the whole without self-interest. That should be the case, you know. I know we are not there. But that should be the case, that should be the goal. To one day go to that level where it is said that we start acting then to please Krishna as per Krishna's desire, not as per our desire. You know, remember those who are doing the Nectar of Devotion classes, that level comes where the devotee thinks Krishna is going to say, oh, if you are fanning Krishna, the example was given that then he expects that Krishna to say, okay, little here, you know, I want little on this side, on that side. That is the level a devotee wants to reach. So every desire of Krishna he wants to fulfill by his service. That's the highest. Okay. So one caution here. If suppose, for example, you know, somebody really wants it. You know, some people like it. A lot of people like it, Ashtanga Yoga. So, even there the caution is given that you should not stop doing your Nishkama Karma Yoga, the Karma Yoga without any desire. You should not stop it. Because that's the only one which purifies the heart. So even for meditation, you know, if the heart is not pure, you imagine you sit with your closed eyes, you are going to think of all the dirty things that are there. So you may be sitting for hours together. But if your heart is not pure, how can you even meditate? Like, if the heart is not pure, it's very difficult to even chant, you know. Let's take the next point. Yeah, one acharya says, he who performs actions prescribed by the scripture as inescapable duty, karyam karma. You know, we saw that karyam karma, part of the shloka. Karyam karma karoti yah. Anashritaha karma phalam is called a sannyasi. So here the sannyasi's definition is given. Again, he who performs actions prescribed by the scripture as inescapable duty. Inescapable. No exceptions. without expectation of results is called a sannyasi. So sannyasi is the one who is doing his duties. That's why Krishna says that those who are not doing Agnihotra, etc., even they cannot be called sannyasi. And here the sannyasi has lots of duties. You know, he's the biggest duty he has got is to preach Krishna consciousness, to repeat the words of Krishna as it is. And he is called a yogi because his mind does not dwell on the enjoyment of objects of the senses. So yogi and sannyasi, they are different, but they can be together. They can be one. One person can be sannyasi and yogi. Because a yogi can be even a person who is not sannyasi. Sannyasi is, you know, in a technical terms, it is like a person who is not living with a family, etc. Okay. But a yogi can. See, a person who merely renounces actions such as fire sacrifice is not called a sannyasi, nor is one who merely half closes his eyes without external body is called a yogi. Sannyasi and yogi, see. So if you are doing only yajna, you cannot be a sannyasi. And if you are just sitting by half closed eyes, you cannot be a yogi, because yogi is much beyond that. The chance for moksha or liberation from the material existence cannot be the result by mere renunciation of action. See? So you cannot, just by renouncing your action, there is no guarantee that you will get moksha, just by becoming a sannyasi. So what happens? For that only Krishna has given this meditation, yoga of meditation. Yoga. Again, he is going to tell us how to do it, what to do, etc. The technical details. Lord Krishna states that one who performs prescribed Vedic activities that are obligatory, such as fasting from all grains on Ekadashi. So even Ekadashi is a way of renouncing, you know, because we are renouncing the food grains, we are renouncing our favorite dishes on that day. Okay, so even that person can be called a sannyasi at one level. The sacred fire for a sannyasi is the Okay. This is the final one. Whosoever performs karma yoga without hankering for rewards or desiring results, performing all activities as a matter of duty, with no other conception except that it is a humble service rendered to the Supreme Lord Krishna, who in every way is the best well-wisher and dearest friend. So here is the thing. I love this. So when we are doing the duties, all we have to think is, it's a humble service rendered to Krishna, because he is my best friend. He is my well-wisher. Okay, best well-wisher. And that's why I am doing this duty. That's why I am doing this in the mood of service, in other words, you know. This duty per se has no much attraction, except when it is done for one with that, you know, in the mood of service. Okay, there was something I will leave to you. I am going to send you this. You can go through that. One may think that sincere actions are of a lower order, then renunciation must be superior. Right? One may think that any actions, karma yoga, is lower than renunciation, is superior. That's why Krishna says, anashritaha, no expectation. No expectation of what is better, what is superior, what is what, you know, leave it. No judgment. We cannot sit on judgment. And that's how this particular text has got all these wonderful commentaries by different acharyas. So I've been able to, I'm sharing some with you. So now if you have any question, comment, we can take that up. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Paramasakha. I'm sorry Arvindaksha Prabhu had to leave. I'll talk to him. I don't know, something wrong with his system, because even in his there's a different kind of symbol was coming. Okay. So let's now see. I see Uma Mataji. Uma Mataji, are you able to hear, etc.? Because I don't know what is this symbol about. In my dashboard I see. The attendee uses a flash client to join the meeting. I don't know what is that flash client. I'm not technical. So we can sort that out. Okay. Anybody has any doubt, question? Comment? Anything? Before that, let me stop the recording because it's a long one. Thank you.